Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to finish the Lord's Prayer today. Matthew 6, let's read from 9, let's read it together, 9 through 13, ready? Matthew 6, 9 through 13, 1, 2, 3, pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Yeah, we thank you already for such a full service, Lord. And we thank you for our four candidates. And we thank you in advance for our next four candidates at the 2 o'clock service. And we ask for your presence, God, to just be with them, even as they're changing right now, God. Let them be so filled with you, God, and in the just the joy of the commitment and dedication they've made to you, Father. And now we come humbly to your word, God, and we ask you to speak to us through it, Lord. To that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today, and I ask that you use me today to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to be very short. I just wanted to just close off. We've been going through this series for a while, and so I just wanted to put the final seal on it. Last week, we talked about do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so today, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you are not around while we're doing this series, it's basically the tag is how to pray. And so we've used the Lord's Prayer as that. And I mentioned early on when we're doing this that the Lord's Prayer and the way that Jesus is doing this, he's not giving us an incantation. In other words, he's not giving us a formula or a form of what to say, but it's actually according to the rabbinic teaching system or the model, which they highlight a certain point and they do an outline afterwards. So the Lord's Prayer actually is divided up into 6 different points that bring about a part of this whole prayer. And I mentioned before that actually if you did this prayer properly, it should take you about an hour to actually literally finish this well. And so the beginning of the prayer starts in worship, when it says, hallowed be thy name. In other words, we lift your name up, and it closes also in worship. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Praise is one of the most highest things that we can do in our lives. As even our John, our worship leader today in the beginning of service, he says, and he actually quoted Psalm 22:3. It says, yet thou art holy, O thou art enthroned above the praises of Israel. Another translation says, you inhabit the praises. He lives within those praises. Another translation or a commentary says that God becomes alive in the praises of his people. And so when you're here at church and we're singing songs, I want to suggest to you that we're not just singing songs. It's not like when you're on the radio or actually, we don't listen to radio anymore, right? Or MP3 or iPod or do something and you listen to something and you sing along. That's not praise. That's just singing along. But when the goal and when your heart is fixed and it's a song unto God, it becomes worship. It's praise. And what happens is when we lift up God's name, he comes down. He lives. He inhabits. He becomes alive in the praises of his people. Praise and worship, this is one of the commentaries, praise and worship restores us to the spiritual state that God intended and gives believers the dynamic, supernatural energy and force that we need to be victorious. Isn't that a great definition or a great byproduct? He says, praise and worship restores us to the spiritual state that God intended and gives believers the dynamic, supernatural energy and force that we need to be victorious. This is Richard Foster. He's writing this. When we worship, we literally bring heaven down here to earth. I remember years ago when I was just kind of learning about worship and worshiping God, what it means to really give our heart to the Lord as we sing, as we honor his life. And in the process, there was this worship leader that I would listen to quite frequently. And he talked about this. He talked about what happens when we praise and worship God, that he comes and he inhabits those praises. And it was a very well-known worship leader. Some of you may be familiar with his name. Was Kevin Prosh. And Prosh used to lead worship at the church that I was attending at the time. And what ended up happening is on Sundays, he would lead worship in church. But on Saturday night, he had a band and they would play in bars and clubs. Imagine, and now in 2012, that's not such a big deal, right? We're like, yeah, of course, that's kind of new, it's kind of hip. A lot of churches do that. In fact, churches meet in bars and clubs now. But imagine yourself 20 years before, that was unheard of for things like that to happen. And it was only, I would say, probably in around the late 70s where the guitar and the drums were actually became okay to use in the worship service. So you can imagine. That was actually came out of the Jesus movement in Southern California. Before that, you know, drums, piano was okay as long as it was the organ. But guitar, for sure, no way. And anything electrical was, oh my goodness, what's going on here? And so you imagine now, here's this guy leading worship on Sunday and Saturday night. He was going to the bars and he would share these testimonies of these amazing things. They would go and they would sing songs to Jesus. They would worship God in these bars through their music. They wouldn't, you know, be singing typical songs that we know, but songs written for the Lord to reach a certain audience. And as they would sing, they said this was not an uncommon thing that would happen, that there would be guys sitting in the bars next to members of the church that came to support. And all of a sudden, in this one story, Prosh was telling about this guy was sitting down next to one of the church members. And as the music was playing, as they were worshiping God, performing in the bar, all of a sudden this man who actually was a homosexual turned to the other man who was a church member and basically just started weeping, just started confessing, and got his life right with God. There's other stories, you know, that he would share that people would go in and they came to the bar to try to come into an illicit relationship with somebody, try to pick somebody up. And then in the midst of the worship, in the midst of the music playing, something would change in their hearts. And they would just stop what they're doing and just begin to weep because the presence of God came down. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He lives within the praises of his people. You know what I do personally? This is my own personal thing. Is whenever I feel kind of lost. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? Whenever I feel like I'm trying to pray and I really don't have the energy to do that or the will. You feel tired and beat up in some ways. Maybe you're discouraged about some things that happen. And in those times, when I feel those times, this is my simple formula, and it's not just my own, so you can do it as well. It works every time. Not that it works, but God works. And what I do is I just simply lie down. It could be on the floor, on a bed, or whatever it else may be, and I turn on the CD player. And I put in, it's usually, now you can put in any music you want, but I'm kind of old school. And so I choose the really old Vineyard music, you know, way back from the 80s. And so I'll put that in and, you know, listen to John Wimber, Isn't He? I don't know if you guys remember these kind of songs. It's way before your time. But just anointed music. And I would just put a CD in and I would just lie down and I would just say, Lord, I'm tired. And I would just start singing along with the music, and just God just shows up. He just shows up because he lives within the praises of his people. He inhabits those praises. When we begin to lift God up, even though we feel down like this, when we begin to lift God up higher and higher, God comes down to meet us when we're down like this. Or wherever it may be. And that's why it's so wonderful when it's congregational worship. When we're all gathered together here, and as we're lifting up God and his atmosphere comes down, things just begin to happen. Healings begin to take place. We just feel closer to God. That there is a nearness and dearness that we didn't feel before we stepped into the room, but it just begins to happen and begin to operate in our lives. We bring heaven down to earth. Now, let me go through some of the logistics of praise. We praise God primarily through three different modes. We praise God with our mouths, We praise God with our bodily movements, and we praise God by playing and singing music. Okay, so with our mouths, our bodily movements, something like lifting your hands up like this, which I remember the first time I ever saw people lift their hands in worship, I had thought I stepped into a cult. I'd never seen it before. Like, what's wrong with these people? Why can't they just worship normally like regular people do? And then whole another level, and then I met one guy, and he dances every single worship set. This is when I was in college, and I had to go to chapel 3 times a week. And part of the chapel, we'd worship. And there was a brother that used to sit in the front row, and the dude would dance every single time they worship. And I thought, man, that guy's crazy. Until I started talking with him, and I thought, man, this guy's legit. He just loves God. But we worship God through bodily movements, and we worship God through playing and singing music. So let me just throw out a few Hebrew terms that encompass all these things. The first one is hala. You want a hala? Okay. Isn't that a hala? Okay, in any case. You want a hala? This means to be vigorously excited, to boast, rave, to celebrate. This is a loud voice. I mean, this is loud praise. And these words actually all mean praise in the Bible. So I just drew all the different words for praise in Hebrew. Part of hala, there's two aspects of it. One is the word Barak, which the United States president, that's actually his name, Barak. And Barak means to bless, to declare God the origin of power for success, prosperity, and fertility, to be still, quiet, and hushed. So hala, this vigorous boasting and all these things, the Barak is actually a more subtle. It's to bless. It's giving God the glory, the origination of all these things that we receive. This is what it means when we Barak him. The other word, and this is the loud part of hala, is shabach. And what this means is to command, to address in a loud tone, to shout before God. So can we practice that right now? Amen. You ready to praise him through our mouths? Okay, so we got to practice. So what should we say? Let's just say Jesus. That's the easiest way. 1, 2, 3. Let's make it precise. Let's shabach God. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus! Wow, that's praise. Did you feel he just came down? It was awesome. So then it gets to another part. And so we talked about bodily movements. This is also praise. And this is todah. This is not the Japanese all-you-can-eat sushi place, right? This is different todah. And so todah, this means to extend hands in thanksgiving. I mentioned to you before that, you know, when pastors and we always say, stretch your hands out to the Lord, and we say these kind of things. Remember, because to the Hebrews, the hands represented the heart. And so when you stretch your hands out to someone, it's quite a feat. It means you're stretching out your heart. And so when the Bible talks about lift your hands to the Lord, it's not just lifting your hands like your fingers, but it's talking about lifting your hearts to God. And it's in such a way that you want to lift up and you almost want to grab him. That's how forceful you just want to see him, and you just want to grab him because you love him so much that he's just so adored. It's like my kids when Hannah wants me to hold her, or when she wants me, she runs up to me and she gets right on my leg and she lifts her hands to me. And when I ignore her, because sometimes, you know, I'm tired, right? I don't want to pick her up. And I would just kind of pretend I don't see her. And then she'll get up all in my face, or get up all in my leg, you know. And she just will keep extending her hand, because that's what she's trying to do. She's trying to say, hey, I'm right here. And she wants to grab me, you know, as much as she can. That's todah, to extend the hands in thanksgiving to God. We just want to reach after the Lord. And when we do that, we're thanking him with all of our hearts. A part of that, there's a few things, which is the word yada, different than the other yada. This is to worship with extended hands, to throw out the hands, enjoying God. And so this, almost in a better way, is talking about like a holy embrace. That we throw out our hands, and have you seen people, like, especially, one of the things Before, when I had a lot more free time, I used to go to the airport really early. I don't do that anymore. And I used to watch people, especially when they get out of the plane and their loved ones, because actually it doesn't really happen anymore because you can't get into the terminal. But, you know, back in the days, and you can see people when they see someone, their arms are, and they're running like this, right, with their arms stretched out. It's the same kind of picture, this yada, to worship with extended hands, to throw out hands to enjoy God. Have you seen people when they're, I mean, really in the presence of the Lord and they're worshiping God, praising Him, and their arms are lifted up, and it seems as if, even though their hands may be like this, it seems as if they're actually embracing someone. There's something supernatural, something holy about that taking place here, to todah or to yada in this place. And some of these terms, Psalm 134:2 says, lift your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Psalm 107 says, give thanks, praise, yada. This idea of just stretching your hand and just enjoying God, enjoying the presence of the Lord that comes. Another part of this is playing and singing music. And this is the word zamar. And it means to pluck the strings of an instrument to praise with song. And so this is what John was doing today. And Ben and Pastor Nate, they were plucking the strings of an instrument to praise with song. Part of this is also, and I really have a hard time saying this word, tehillah. And this means singing in the spirit. It's part of this worship where you just give yourself. And I don't know if you were here, maybe it was about a month ago when Suhail came up in the first service, right? And he came up and he sang a spiritual song before the Lord. That was tehillah. He was just offering up, he was allowing God to use his voice and take his experience and just giving it over to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit to sing through him as worship and praise. That's tehillah. It's such a beautiful thing that takes place. And so, you know, no matter what method that we take, or with our mouths, with our hands, with our body movements, with jumping or dancing, all those things are part of praise. It's all part of us giving ourselves to, you know, about lifting God up, and in some ways bringing ourselves down a little bit. We become humbler when we're operating this way. But it's not about a method or whatnot. It's about being obedient and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Worship, ultimately praise, is all about Jesus. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about Jesus. When you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, praise is about Jesus. Turn to your other neighbor and say, it's not about you. And then turn to yourself. I don't know if that's possible, right? Turn to yourself and say, it's not about me either. Right? It's about Jesus. This is why, this is the important part. This is why when you come into the house of the Lord or wherever you may be, you should never be ashamed. Amen? You should never be ashamed of operating in the way that you sense God leading you to jump up and down like a fool. Right, to dance, to do whatever it may be. Because the moment you start thinking about, well, what is so-and-so going to think? You just reduced worship and praise to yourself. Now it's all about you. It's no longer about Jesus. It's about how you're going to look. It's about how cool am I going to not seem to people around me. Remember David, I love when the Ark of the Covenant is coming into Jerusalem for the first time again after 70 years. And he comes, and remember he starts dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. And then his wife despises him. because he starts stripping. I mean, he starts taking off his clothes, and I mean, he's going crazy. And then his wife turns to him, Michelle turns to him and says, man, you sure were dignified in front of your handmaidens today. Remember David's response? He basically said, you ain't seen nothing yet. He said, I'll be even more undignified than this for the Lord. And so the moment that you start thinking, because praise should flow out of the recesses of our heart, out of the desire that's deep within us to lift God up. And so don't worry about someone sitting next to you or behind you. You know, we'll be even more undignified than this. Don't worry if you're going to embarrass yourself or if you're not going to embarrass yourself. Those things should be totally out of our mind because our focus is Him. It's not us. Amen? Let's close our eyes today. See, if our baptism was even shorter, I had part two, but I'm going to stop. So I really prepared today, made sure, covered all the angles. But it's fitting that we spend some time and we close and wrap up this whole series by praising the Lord. We started by praising Him. We're going to finish by praising Him. Lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the highest goal of our lives. Worshiping God, praising His name is going to be, think about this, church, it's going to be our eternal occupation. The Bible tells us that for thousands upon thousands of years, we'll fall on our face before the Lord and cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come. Holy is His name." Can you imagine how glorious that's going to be in the fullness of the presence of God for eternity? We worship Him. Every day we have the opportunity to do something that's being done in heaven right now. We have the opportunity today to do something that's just being done right now in heaven, but will be done forever and ever and ever. And every single day, God gives us the privilege to come before Him, to lift Him higher and higher and higher. And so can I invite you to stand to your feet right now? And as John and the team leads us, let me invite you just to worship the Lord, to praise. Let's just finish this series, this preaching series that's gone on for about 3 months. And let's finish it righteously by praising and worshiping God in all different ways, with our mouths, with our body movements, with the instruments. And unfortunately, only these guys can do that part, but we can join along with them. Huh? So go ahead, John, lead us.
Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above, oh God. Let's lift Him up. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Jesus, we exalt thee, Lord. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh, oh, oh. I exalt thee, Lord. We exalt thee. We exalt thee, Lord. We exalt thee, Lord. Oh, oh, Lord. One last time, I exalt thee.
Keep our eyes closed and our hands raised to God. John, you can just keep playing in the back. As we're worshiping, I just felt like God just doing stuff in the room right now. And a couple words that I just got in my heart was depression and loneliness. I just feel like as we were worshiping the Lord and as we're just lifting our hands and our hearts to God, that He was coming down and touching some of us here that are dealing with depression and loneliness. And so right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for healing word, God. We thank you, Lord, that when we lift you up, God, that whatever things are ailing us, Lord, whatever things are bringing us down, that you heal us, Lord. And so I pray right now for my friends, God, Lord, in this place that are dealing with depression and loneliness, Lord. I pray, God, that you would lift them up to the place where you're at, God. That you'd bring a clarity to their mind right now. Lord, that something of the Spirit of God would touch them. There would be a witness in their heart. They would receive what you have for them right now. Thank you, God. If that's you, you don't have to make a response, but just begin to pray to the Lord and say, God, yes, that's me, God. Lord, begin to do something in my life right now. And just watch the heaviness just lift off you. Thank you, Father. Lord, just take us deeper, God, as we lift you up higher and higher. Lord, we love you so much, God. Lord, we love you so much, Lord. And we want every waking moment of our life, Lord, to be spent praising you. Praising you with our mouths, with our bodily actions, with instruments and singing, but also worshiping you by the way in which we live our lives, the way we speak to one another, the way we work with one another, God. We want to worship you with everything, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.